Hello, I'm Wayne, and this is my Iron Maiden podcast, sponsored by Carnation Evaporated Milk. It's not ideal, but it's still an acceptable cream replacement. On these shows, I look at the songs of Iron Maiden and how they influenced me growing up as a boy in 1980s and 1990s Birmingham. I reflect on the songs today, in 2022, or 2022, as you might call it, see how they stand up and see if my opinions have changed. This week, I'm looking at a song called Be Quick or Be Dead, which is track one on the Fear of the Dark album. That's right, I'm on a new album, Fear of the Dark, a new era, a new series. It's 1992, and I'll be looking at that later. Last week, I rounded off the previous album, No Prayer for the Dying, and I did an album review special, which went down quite well, I think. Here are some of the comments I had. Now, you may remember, I spent a bit of time talking about what a treat it was to come home from town with a cassette and look at the inlay card, reading the lyrics and so on, with this new purchase. I thought that might have resonated with some people, but I was wrong, because I just got criticism. I had a message from Roger Bannister, talking about how I said that the writing was smaller these days on inlay cards and CD boxes. He said it isn't. It's just that I'm older and that, you know, I've struggled to see. Well, I don't know how you can tell this. You don't even know me. But anyway, I'll assume that perhaps you have got some sort of system of measuring the font of old tapes and new tapes. But to me, it's difficult to read. And sometimes the colours don't help. And yeah, maybe that is me being old. Now, I had a few more comments about this matter, the inlay card, but from a different angle. I had people say that the show was explicit and unacceptable for the podcast. You know, it's gone downhill and setting the wrong tone. You know, comments like this, and I wonder what they meant, because, you know, I didn't swear. I mean, maybe they were talking about Yannick, who, you know, the Tom Tite thing, but no, it seems that I personally went too far last week. And, yeah, well, let's see what happened. Now, I made a comment about the inlay cards and how I used to read them on the bus. And I mentioned particularly some of them where you had to stretch the inlay cards because, you know, there was a lot of information. So let's hear what I said. I remember stretching one out on the back seat downstairs on a bus once. It was that long, but then this man wanted to sit down. Now, you may have heard that and wondered, well, what was wrong with that? As I did at the time when I said it, I thought, well, there you go. That's a lovely story from my childhood. How, you know, I'm sure people can relate to it. Maybe you also caught the bus home looking at your cassettes. But no, apparently, according to these people, these critics, the term stretching one out is a rude thing, the sort of thing that you might find referenced in the Osborne Book of Growing Up on page 29. Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but yeah, stretching one out means doing something dirty. And I can confirm, quite categorically, that I wasn't doing that on a bus. And when I said it was a long one, I was referring to the inlay card. And when I said a man wanted to sit down, it wasn't because of anything seedy or sordid that was going on. These people have twisted what I've said. I suppose this happens, doesn't it, with podcasts? But no. So I sort of have to apologise, but it wasn't deliberate. So I'm quite annoyed, actually, that an innocent memory, which I thought was quite a happy time, it's now been tainted and twisted into something dirty. It's a bit like when Thomas Spencer tricked me into saying, I like Dick. You might remember when I was talking about my favourite character in the pantomime Dick Whittington, and he made me say that in class. You know, people sniggered. And maybe people sniggered last week at that, but, you know, it wasn't deliberate. You know, you might think it's a comedy because it says so on Apple, but that's not what I was trying to say. I was literally talking about looking at an inlay card on a bus. Yeah, I think that's the problem, isn't it? You release something into the public and it can be looked at in different ways. I see now perhaps how Steve Harris might feel when he knows that his tapes must get put in Teddy Ruck's bins around the world and his music abused. Anyway, it's a new series, so we haven't got time to dwell on the past. Although I might do a bit of that as well in this episode. So it's a new series, new album, the ninth Iron Maiden album, Fear of the Dark. It's 1992, so we've jumped 2 years from 1990 to 1992. So a lot can happen in 2 years, if you think about the 2 years we've had since this podcast came out. That's quite a lot, isn't it? And in the early 1990s, a lot happened then too, which I'm sure I'll look at. But a lot happened for me personally, as you know, because I was a teenager and lots of changes in the body, which Adrian tried to read about last week. But at this time, 1992, I was looking at big boy exams, which were called GCSEs. Now, if you're a bit older than me, you might know them as O-levels, or if you're a bit younger than me, they might be called something else, like SATs or something, or BTECs, or if you're in another country, they could be called anything, I don't know. It was a bit of a treat, 1992, because I felt like I'd hit another milestone in my life, because I was allowed to stay up a bit later, so instead of going to bed after EastEnders, I could go a bit later and watch things like Red Dwarf. So yeah, I think I went to bed about 10 o'clock then, so that was a real treat, wasn't it? Anyway, we're looking at Be Quick or Be Dead, the song by Iron Maiden, that's why you're here. And just that title, Be Quick or Be Dead, sounds like good advice, doesn't it, if you're running away from danger. Perhaps it's a gang who doesn't like your mullet, so you know, you've got to be quick, haven't you? Or you know, they might get you. And it opens with quite a nice impact. We've got like a rat-a-tat from Nico, like he's knocking on the door with his drumsticks. Obviously, I've never had Nico knock at my door, but you know, that's the sort of sound that he might make. And it's sort of announcing the entrance of the band, isn't it? It's quite good, quite a statement of intent, quite, you know, getting in there with high tempo fury. And then Bruce screams. It's a really nice vibe straight away, like all of the band are trying out their tricks, showing off. And once the song fully kicks in with the vocal, we can hear that Bruce is once again using that raspy sound. So, yeah, I could just about cope with it on No Prayer for the Dying album, but I'm not sure I could cope with it now. It's a bit like how you can pull up with things for a short time, like Uncle Brian at Christmas. But I'm not having it all year round, those old-fashioned views and having to sort of nod along and not say anything. The first two lines, covered in sinners and dripping with guilt, making your money from slime and from filth. Covered in sinners and dripping with guilt, making your money from slime and from filth. They might have guessed, it's about people profiting from corruption. That common theme we've had before. And you can think about it now, 30 years on. It's a theme in modern politics, isn't it? But, you know, I probably won't go into that. At that time, we had Robert Maxwell, the stock market crash and the Gulf War. So all of these things were hot topics. So once again, like the previous album, we're looking at things from that time. It talks about bellies and investments. And these bellies are about the rich, aren't they? Getting full and showing off. It's full with money and assets. Not full with pudding. Although the rich people can have the choice of puddings on the menu, can't they? Not like Trevor at a Burnie Inn, where you may remember he had Knickerbocker Glory Envy. Now, even though I said the song started off with quite a high impact, which sounds positive, I feel that the verse is a bit repetitive with its structure, number of syllables. Now, Bruce does try and vary the delivery a bit, so it's not repetitive, but it doesn't quite have the wow factor, but it's sort of okay. And when it gets to the chorus, there's no real big entrance either. There's no rat-a-tat on the door from Nico. It's just similar sort of vibe, just blends in. Not much change from the verse. And it says, you've got to watch them, be quick or be dead. You've got to watch them, be quick or be dead. Snake eyes in heaven, the beast in your head. Now I mentioned snake eyes, which, you know, you might think you know what that is. And we've had snakes mentioned before, and it mentions serpents later, so this is a theme in Iron Maiden songs, isn't it? But this isn't about the eyes of a snake. Snake Eyes is a game of chance, and I know this from the board game Go for Broke, which allowed you to play Snake Eyes, which was this dice-rolling game where you had to go to a casino, and if you roll a double one, you win, because that's Snake Eyes, and you get loads of money. But you didn't want this in this board game, because it's called Go for Broke. You're supposed to lose your money, so it's quite a good option. Maybe he thinks they play that in heaven, because there's snake eyes in heaven. But you'd think at this point they'd be a bit more advanced, wouldn't you, than dice. They might have games consoles up there. You know, there was all sorts going on, Super Nintendo, probably at this point, thinking back. I mean, me and Michael Patterson, we had the Amiga, of course, but that was more of a computer with floppy disks. But games consoles were probably better in hindsight. The end of the chorus comes with this sort of echo. Bruce echoes when he says, be quick or be dead. He echoes on the quick and on the dead. Now, I know now, because I'm a bit older when I come to listen to this, I know that it is an echo and he isn't moving his mouth further away from the microphone as he's saying it. You may remember I sort of speculated about this in some of the 1980s albums. Now here, I can tell because it's exactly the same sound where it says quid. Now because he's raspy, it sounds a bit like a quack, like a duck quacking. So the word sounds like quack, and the way he says it sounds like a quack. So it's a bit like Donald Duck, who also had a raspy voice. And he was having a bit of a renaissance at this point, thanks to the hit Disney cartoon DuckTales, where he was spending time with his nephews. Maybe there's a bit of a Disney link with Iron Maiden that we need to look into. We've had Mickey Mouse, haven't we, on the Twilight Zone sleeve and on Power Slave. So maybe there's more Disney references. You know, people haven't picked up on Mr. Men, have they, until this podcast. Although maybe it's just duck links. Maybe there's lots of duck links in Iron Maiden songs. You know, that man who did the Number of the Beast voice. He also narrated Count Duckula, didn't he, that cartoon. Yeah, so maybe ducks is a thing we can look at. There's Quacks in Our Lives, isn't there, in Rainmaker. Now this song's written by Bruce Dickinson and Yannick Gers. So what's good is this is the first songwriting credit for Yannick. So yeah, congratulations to him. Talking of Yannick.
Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it.
Hello, I'm Yannick Gers from Iron Maiden and welcome to another Getting Jiggy With It. Sometimes dancers get in touch with us asking me questions like they may want some tips or information on technique or diet. I had a message from a group of dancers from Lincoln wanting some complimentary tickets for one of our gigs. I said, what's your group called? They said, the Lincoln Limbo Dancers. I said, I'd have to bend over backwards to get Steve to say yes. That's a joke, by the way. I like a joke, me. I sometimes say, I'm Yannick Gers and here's some yokes. People love it like. Anyway, limbo, you know, bending over. Anyway, once I called up a class offering Latin and ballroom sessions. It was down the local community centre. They asked me what my level was, beginner or intermediate. I said I was new to salsa and wanted to dip into it. Little did they know I was eating tortilla chips at the time with a salsa dip. It was funny, but when I told Adrian this story, he never laughed.
No. I thought it was a silly joke. You should have asked about merengue while eating a lemon meringue.
Nah, that doesn't work like. I've got another joke, but it's not about dance. Why do ABBA like Iron Maiden? Because they think the trooper is super. Here's another one. Why couldn't Steve Harris do ballet on stage? Because you couldn't get him away from the bar. Ah well, maybe I'll stick to the dancing in future.
Getting jiggy with it.
Now after the chorus, it goes straight into a post-chorus, or what I call an extra bit. It says, see what's ruling all our lives, see who's pulling strings. And here is a nice change. I'd have liked this sort of change for the chorus, but this bit's good. It's funny how he sings all our lives as well. Now quite a lot's happened already, and we've only done 1 minute and 30 seconds, and we've had a verse, a chorus, and the post-chorus. So yeah, that's going well, isn't it? We had some fast and short songs on the previous album, so let's see how we go here. Although there's a few odd noises in the gap after the chorus. What's all this about? Verse 2 is just similar to the first verse, really. Mentions a serpent, and but again telling people to vote for what you want to hear. So yeah, looking at the sort of pointlessness of the words of politicians. I mean, I moaned about the structure of the vocal being quite rigid in verse 1, but the delivery was a bit varied. And here, Bruce has this line where he says, don't matter what's wrong, as long as you're all right. And that is quite different. He doesn't put those words in the places you expect. Don't matter what's wrong, as long as you're all right. Once again, the second chorus is the same as the first. But we don't get that nice post-chorus next time. We go into the solo. Now, it talks about pulling yourself stupid. And after the mistakes I've made with inlay cards on the bus, I'm not going to perhaps go down that route. But luckily, the Ballad of Balfe mentioned this in a tweet, and he talks about, again, that phrase and how it might be linked to the Osborne Book of Growing Up. So, yeah, so that's mentioned. Whether that is the case, I'm not going to look into. I don't want to. I don't want that on my podcast. But, yeah, how he says pull yourself stupid, he actually says stupid. Yeah, he's done that before, hasn't he, Bruce? Some odd pronunciations. But maybe he's saying it to fit in with the song. Had a nice Easter treat this last weekend. Poor Diano turned up on the doorstep, wanting to go for a walk and a trip to the cafe. So, naturally, I went with him. And here's some of the chat we had.
Well, it's nice to catch up, Wayne. I was a bit concerned that your podcast might be reflecting the Iron Maiden 90s output. It might need a bit of life in it, freshen it up a bit.
Well, I've only done the one album so far, so I'm not too concerned at the moment.
Well, I'm here anyway. I thought this song title might be perfect. Be quick or be dead. Reminds me of some of the scrapes I got into. I had to be quick. I had to escape back to the present, or I might be dead. Like Sanctuary, of course, when I was accused of that crime in the Old West. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the difference, isn't it, between those older songs and these newer ones. There's more danger in them. Yeah, there's no sense of danger in this song.
Well, that's a different time, isn't it? Almost 10 years on.
Yeah.
You've never met Yannick, have you?
Well, I have, actually. I met him last week.
Yeah,
I was here in your time. I met this nice lady. I was minding my own business, having a picnic. Yeah, he just appeared and started blabbering on a bit. Did this weird dance.
All right, well, I've had someone say they're a bit worried about you going backwards and forwards in time when we're still in this pandemic. There's still COVID. I'm worried that you're going to go back to 1981 or 1980 and take the virus back with you and cause trouble and, you know, might change things. Is that not a concern?
Well, you might remember the first time I met you, it wasn't a big thing, was it? But then the second time I met you, you might remember, was in your Somewhere in Time series. So, yeah, to you, it was a bit later on. And at that point, I'd managed to blag a vaccine, so I wasn't worried then. So when I went back to see you, I don't know, whenever it was, Sanctuary, or let's say, I wasn't worried at all. So, yeah, there's no need to panic, I'll be all right. I know I'll live, you know, I can see what goes on, even if it means one day I'll have to have leg surgery and use a wheelchair.
So will I see you again? I mean, you know, you did say once you hadn't really heard the 90s stuff, so I don't know what really you can add to it.
Don't you tell me what I can add to your podcast. I've added plenty. You think you can just buy my words with Cherry Bakewell and coffee? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, Cameraville, I'll be popping in to see you when it's the Fear of the Dark episode.
Yeah,
although I probably said too much there. I don't want to enrage the pixie.
So, yeah, quite a simple structure. Simple-ish song. No frills, but decent enough. And that's what we want, because it was the first single off the album. So I suppose that's about right, isn't it, with the structure. As I said, I'd have liked that post-chorus to come back, but maybe as it didn't, maybe that's just a middle eight. Maybe that's what it's called. So yeah, it was a lead single of the album. So let's have a look at the chart history. Well, the week it came out, it was released on the Monday, and the previous day, the chart at the time looked like this. We had Deeply Dipper by Right Said Fred at number one, and that had Not To Stay by Shakespeare's Sister off the top. So you might know those songs. The highest new entry at number seven that week was On A Ragga Tip by SL2. It was like a rave meets ragga single, which I think I recall being on one of those 90s Time Life Music compilations.
Time Life Music presents Listen to the 90s with Nico.
Woo! Hey, buddy, what a die day. Hey, buddy, what a die day. Hey, buddy, what a die day. Dave, what you gonna play? Dave, what you gonna play? Come on.
Now, On A Ragga Tip jumped to number three the next week. That's good, wasn't it? It was highest new entry at seven, jumped to number three. But Iron Maiden entered a place above them at number two. So, yeah, that was good. Although it sadly didn't beat the cheeky slaphead duo Right Said Fred off the top. They were still there with Deeply Dipper. As we've seen with other singles from Iron Maiden, there's an initial excitement which dies quite quickly. Now, next week, Right Said Fred and SL2
were still number one and number two, still up there. Iron Maiden, having been number two, dropped to number 13, one place below a new entry from Metallica with Nothing Else Matters. And after that, it just about stayed in the top 40. It was just number 40 exactly for one more week. So quite disappointing, but it got to number two, which was better than Holy Smoke, but not as good as Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter. Now, the sleeves of the single, it's all right. It's like a backdrop of newspaper bits. I think they're called snippets, aren't they? It's a bit like the backdrop in the BBC satirical news quiz show, Have I Got News For You? Which hadn't long started in 1992, only a couple of years old then. Now, Eddie's in front of this, seems to be threatening a man in a suit, I suppose a banker or a politician. And the man looks quite realistic compared to Eddie. So it's actually not like the gravedigger that was on the sleeve of No Prayer For The Dying. It almost looks real. But then if you look on the back of the credits, the sleeve's not only credited to Derek Riggs, it also talks about photography. So I think it's like a mash-up of illustration and photography. A bit like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where there was cartoon and film. Now, there's also a video to this single, which is always interesting to watch. They're never that good, are they, the official videos? They're not as good as they could be when you consider the budget they might have had. But I think they used to think, well, there's no point in going all out because we know the single does so well, regardless, because of the fans, but it's not going to stick around, so let's not blow the budget on flying someone over from Texas or something. They might as well just do the basics. So I had a look at it again, because it's been a while since I watched it, and I thought about doing a live reaction video of me watching the video, because that's quite popular, isn't it, now? Watching people watching videos, looking at their face. But it wouldn't be like one of those, because I have seen it before. I think those are for things that it's the first time you see it. Maybe I should have done that for the writing on the wall. I did think about it, but anyway. Yeah, I think when I did see it, let's assume I saw it at the time, 1992. It probably would have been on The Chart Show, which was a TV show on ITV. It would have been on a Saturday morning before I'd then go and have lunch and then watch Satan Grieves. The video starts off and it's really focused on the pace of the song. There's plenty of movement from the camera. There's someone running and jerky, frantic motion. And the band are playing on some dock, probably in London, and there's lots of leather on display. But Yannick's doing the double denim thing, which is very satisfying. Dave seems to be wearing a leather jacket over a denim shirt, which is quite controversial. I'm surprised that's not mentioned more often on Iron Maiden forums. There's a lot of subliminal flashing of logos in the background and symbols, which I think if it was released today, might come with a warning. Straight away I can see that Bruce is doing his overacting again. And I don't know why he always gets his mum to neaten his fringe before these videos, because, I don't know, it doesn't look good. There's loads of images of money, bank ATMs, which were called smart banks then. And there's some really bad primitive computer graphics, like weird 3D animation. Although there is a check made payable to Eddie that's created, which, you know, is quite amusing. It's an interesting idea, and the band are trying to display that intent with the momentum of the song, but it's also a bit messy, and like a lot of stuff from that time, hasn't aged well. The B-sides were quite interesting. There was a blues number called Nodding Donkey Blues. They did another cover from the band Montrose called Space Station No. 5. And there was a hidden track on the 12-inch and CD, which was known as Bayswater Ain't a Bad Place to Be, which was a silly sort of spoken word comedy piece where Bruce imitated Rod Smallwood. Now, this is interesting because it seems Rod Smallwood's happy to be mocked here in this way, and it was also mocked on the B-side Sheriff of Huddersfield in 1986. But then you might think, well, he didn't want to appear on the cover of No Prayer for the Dying, did he? He's that gravedigger, allegedly. So, strange. Now, something I learned recently, which I didn't know at the time, was that on the French CD single, there's an extra track called The French Message, and it's Bruce thanking French fans. Listen to this.
3, 2, 1... Bonjour, bonsoir, c'est Bruce Dickinson de Iron Maiden. Hello, it's Bruce here from Iron Maiden. I'm sorry I've got to speak most of this in English because I'm making it up and not reading it from a sheet.
So essentially, it's just Bruce thanking French fans and hoping to see them at the forthcoming Monsters of Rock. So it's quite a nice extra for those French fans. Although Bruce's French isn't brilliant when he tries it. It's on a par with mine. So yeah, a nice extra. But you wouldn't put the French message in your top 10 Iron Maiden songs. And you don't often see it listed, do you? Even in top hundreds. Right, I'm going to give Trevor a ring.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Trevor, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. New series, new album. It's exciting.
Yeah?
Although it is Fear of the Dark.
Okay, well, let's talk positively for now. 1990 to 1992, how was it for you?
Yeah, it was the important time, wasn't it? Lots of changes. We had Going Live, became Live and Kicking on Saturday morning TV. And they changed the recipe in Mars and Milky Way. I think around this time, Marathon became Snickers.
Well, yeah, well, I was thinking more like world events and important things.
Well, these were important.
Okay, well, should we talk about the song, Be Quick or Be Dead?
Yeah, well, it's a good title, isn't it? This is how I felt when I ran away from that goth at the seaside.
Oh, yeah, was that the poem you did where you had an inflatable crocodile attached to your tummy?
Oh, yeah, well remembered.
How could I forget?
Well, I suppose I don't think I'd have been dead then, if I look back. But I had to get out of there quickly. I left my bucket and spade on the beach. And my towel.
Oh, well, I hope you haven't done a poem about that again.
No.
I suppose there are a few moments of fear from our teen years. You also mentioned that fairground incident, didn't you?
Yeah, and that was the Flash of the Blade poem. And I remember being scared when I took on Michael Patterson's paper round. It was on holiday, so I did it for a week. I was old enough.
All right, no need to boast.
So I went round the streets with my special satchel full of papers. I felt important. But there was this house on Thornton Road that was scary.
Was this the poltergeist house that featured on the TV show Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World?
No, it was a house where, when you put the paper through the letterbox, a dog rushed out woofing, snarling, and he just grabbed it. Made me jump. I thought he'd rip it.
So it was a dog you were scared of?
Yeah, it was the uncertainty and the fact I couldn't see when he was coming through the frosted glass.
So you had a fear of the bark then? So that's good, isn't it? We've been waiting nearly 90 episodes for some comedy.
Well, yeah. Well, I can smile about it now, but at the time it was terrible.
Okay, so you mentioned a few issues about being scared. I mean, that was quite nice, but you know, I'm surprised you didn't put that in a poem, the dog thing. But so what are we doing this week then?
Yeah, well, thought I'd do something different. You may remember I mentioned quite a while ago about my alter ego, T-Rev.
What?
T-Rev. I said I was going to do hip-hop, didn't I?
I don't remember this.
Yeah, I think it was on the Invaders episode, where I said I'd do things differently. I did some drums as a backing, but didn't really catch on.
Oh, right, well, yeah, I don't remember it, so clearly it didn't.
So, yeah, what I've done is I've recorded it differently.
You've recorded it?
Yeah.
So you're not going to read it out?
No, I've sent you a CD. I put it through the door earlier.
What, this thing?
Well, I guess so. I can't see what you're doing.
Okay, well, so I haven't played. You said don't play it till the show, but if you've just recorded yourself doing a poem, I'm a bit wary. You know, we've had a few complaints lately about inappropriate content.
Nah, I'll be fine. You can trust me.
Okay, so I'm going to play it then. And so you're saying it's hip-hop, though?
Yeah, well, some poets do that. They deliver their poetry in that style. I've mentioned it before. Keep going on about it. You just don't listen.
Okay, well, so just play it then. See what the listener thinks.
Listeners, why do you keep doing that? Yeah, pull it on.
Okay.
Yo, check it. On a swing, that's my thing, and I'm proud of that. Blue could cool, I'm so cool, are you down with that? But here they come, time to run, I won't hang about. No time to hide, down the slide, they start to scream and shout. It's written in red, I quicken my tread, be quick or be dead. You cheek in the set, I kick in my head, I'm sick in my shed. Be quick or be dead.
Right, so what on earth was that then?
My poem, but done in a hip-hop style.
Well, I'm not happy with it, and I'm sure other people aren't. You know, they've had complaints when we played synth-pop and reggae. No one likes this, they want heavy metal.
Well, there might be a hip-hop agent listening.
I doubt it. Now, what little I do know, That wasn't hitting the spot. I didn't feel the aggression or passion that I'd expect from a hip-hop artist.
Well, that's because you can't see me when I'm delivering it. Can't see me swinging my arms about, making shapes. It's just what's recorded.
So do you think you're going to be the next M&M's?
What?
That white rapper?
No, I'm T-Rev.
Okay. Well, I noticed that you use that sound effect that you do on your top three.
Yeah, Jew's harp.
Okay, well, where's that come from then?
Well, it's like a sound effects box I got.
Well, I'm glad they've cleared that up because Daniel Armstrong asked about your sound effects on Twitter, so now he knows, and I don't know what he'll think of that.
I'm sure he'll be pleased, like everyone else. Now it's 1992. I think I need to do things in this style, these hip-hop beats.
It isn't 1992.
Well, you seem to be obsessed with the past.
I'm not.
You shouldn't live in the past all the time, otherwise it becomes your present.
Is that Oscar Wilde?
No, it was Trevor. Talking of 1990s, I saw Fiona Gregory in Old Day.
Oh, is she still living in the area?
I bet you know, really. Maybe she was visiting her parents. Anyway, I had a chat with her in Old Day about current issues.
Current issues? What, did you comment on the rising prices and how baked beans in Old Day used to be 9p?
No. She asked about you.
Did she?
Yeah, I told you you're a somebody now.
What does that mean?
I said you'd do a podcast about Iron Maiden.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah. She says, oh, does he still like them?
What did you say?
I said, yeah.
What did she say?
She said, oh.
What did you say?
I thought you weren't bothered about her now.
I'm just interested. You didn't tell her what it was called, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, what if she listens? She'll find out things, won't she? Secrets.
You'll be all right. I doubt she'll get past Prowler anyway.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing.
Was she looking nice?
Yeah, not bad. Yellow cardigan, Alice band, subtle pastel colours in her makeup. She had a paisley neck scarf, pencil skirt, woollen stockings, and some of those buckle shoes.
Were you making notes or something?
No, I just remember.
Was she with a man?
No, all alone. Can we talk about the song again, please?
Oh, right, yeah.
I like the fact they mention bellies in it. There's not enough about bellies in songs or poetry. It's why I mentioned mine in that poem about having a bath with Pamela.
What, that hill with a crater?
Yeah. Here, though, the line is, your belly will hold you in place. I like that, because my mum used to say when we had to go somewhere special, I'd have to wear smart clothes. I'd have these trousers that were either hand-me-downs or were bought so I'd grow into them. They were too big. I wasn't allowed about, so if I was concerned they'd fall down, my mum used to say, don't worry, Trevor, your belly will hold you in place. So, quite wise words, and I'm really touched that they've been immortalised by Iron Maiden.
Couldn't you ask your dad to borrow one of his belts?
No, we weren't talking. He hadn't got over me breaking that ornament.
Well, couldn't you have got Teddy Ruxpin to ask him?
All right, stop making fun.
I've had a comment from Billy Whiz saying, if you like Eurovision so much, why didn't you mention the German entry in 1978 was called Genghis Khan when he did the Genghis Khan episode?
Well, I don't know if that qualified, did he? I don't remember, but I wasn't alive then. Well, I was, but I was very young. So, I'm not a purist, I like the Eurovision now. There was probably only about 12 people in it then. And I doubt it was relevant to the episode. But, you know, I don't want to be mean to the listener, so... Yeah, I'll go and have a listen and see if there's anything about it that's relevant. Maybe there's a similar bit. But I doubt Steve Harris copied a German Eurovision entry from the late 1970s. But maybe we should look into it. Maybe there'll be another court case.
All right, let's not talk about that. We don't know who's listening, do we? OK, we haven't really talked about the song too much. I mean, you mentioned the bellies bit, but what do you think about the song then?
Yeah, I like it. It's got the same sort of vibe as Holy Smoke. Same style, pace, sound. But, you know, it's a reasonable single, but I want more. You know, we've had 2 years, and they're just doing the same, really. A lot has happened in the early 90s, music. I mean, there was changes at the late 80s for heavy metal, and early 90s, quite a lot was happening, and you can't stand still. But yeah, so it was the lead single, it was all right. So what happens with the album? Still Iron Maiden, isn't it?
Okay, well, thanks very much for that. So next time we've got From Here to Eternity, another single. So I'll speak to you next week. I never thought I'd say this, but perhaps can we have a poem next time? Not sure about this hip-hop stuff.
We'll have to see, won't we?
Well, I'd rather talk to Trevor than T-Rev.
OK, thanks, Wayne. Bye.
OK, you can follow me on social media. I'm at Wayne Maiden on Twitter, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And I don't know why I'm really saying this, because if you haven't followed me yet after 90 episodes, then you're probably not going to, are you? So I don't know why I'm saying it. But then, for some of you, maybe this is your first episode. So have a look. Extra things happen. And strange first episode to choose. Maybe you thought, oh, I'll start at Fear of the Dark. But anyway, whatever you do. Don't forget, there's also a Ko-Fi page with extra content, and you can find the link there in the show notes. I've noticed on Facebook there's a bit of a conspiracy theory going on that I've denied Trevor an Easter special. Now, this isn't the case, and I'm not sure where you've got your information from, because no one's heard Trevor ask for one, have they? That's not happened, and I've not told Trevor to keep quiet about the possibility of one either. So, I don't think we want egg puns and stuff like that. Isn't Yannick talking about yolks enough? I think we have talked about such things before. I remember me talking about designing an Easter egg in the shape of Eddie after the Can I Play With Madness sleeve. So as a result, I think Trevor's exhausted all the specials options. Easter, Halloween. But we'll see. I'll keep an eye on him. Looking back at the episode we just had, I'd like to go through it more meticulously to avoid any negative comments or people picking up on little details to twist. So first thing I've noticed is that the German entry at Eurovision for Genghis Khan was actually 1979 and not 1978, as the original query from Billy Wee suggested. So there you go. I also mentioned the photography on the front sleeve, and I probably should have mentioned that it was by someone called Mike Pryor, because I've talked about Derek Riggs plenty of times, so let's give credit to Mike Pryor for his role in the front cover. Now, again, like other aspects of this podcast, I was older, so I wouldn't have had this image of Mike Pryor in the same way that I thought about Derek Riggs earlier on, with pointy hats and silly notions. I don't know who he was, and I still don't. I've had a look at him. He's done lots of photography and art for bands. A reasonably varied portfolio, but nothing to really discuss here. So Be Quick or Be Dead, then. Quite a straightforward song. Pretty good. If it was on the last album, it wouldn't be the worst on it, but it wouldn't be the best either. So we'll see how it fares on this album. But for now, not a bad start. As Trevor says, similarities to Holy Smoke. And one thing I didn't really look at was the solo, which again, like Holy Smoke, is good for a single, but nothing really that special. As I didn't mention it, I'll play out the show with that. So thanks very much for listening, and I hope to see you next week. Bye-bye.